Welcome to Bethany Lutheran here in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My dad had rules and advice for his little girl. Better take a jacket, you never know. Always check your oil before a trip. Stand up straight, girl, and pin those shoulders back. You take care of yourself out there, sweetie. Never get in the way of a working man. Following rules is not something our culture does well. Just watch people boarding an airplane with their carry-on items. How are they doing with the rules? There are signs about how many carry-on items you can have. There are small boxes where you can place your carry-on to measure and make sure that they will fit within the requirements. Announcements are made when boarding is about to begin, reminding passengers that they can have only two carry-on items. One must fit in the overhead compartment, and one must fit underneath the seat in front of you. That is, in a space that barely accommodated my husband's size 12 triple E feet. And then your plane idles at its gate while several people struggle to fit their oversized bags into the overhead bin. Or they become irate and argumentative when the flight attendant tries to confiscate that oversized bag and have it stowed in the plane's belly. Americans have a reputation for doing what they want, when they want, regardless of what anybody says, which only creates more rules and regulations. After all, the American rule about rules is rules are made to be broken. And then we read today's gospel text, which starts with, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Not just rules, but commandments. We Americans do not do so well with someone saying, "I command you to do this." But Jesus commands in the context of love. He tells his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Later in verse 23, Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word." Love is connected to keeping the commandments. They're not just kept because of fear or force. There are no threats of punishment, just if you love me. How strange this must be for those living by the rules of the world. The rules, it is believed, were made to be broken. But this is not blind obedience. This is not forced or coerced compliance. There's no threat of punishment. Jesus, who when he cursed a fig tree, caused it instantly to wither, Jesus, who could and probably should zap his rebellious followers for their lack of obedience, this Jesus says nothing about penalties. He simply speaks of a deep and abiding love, which should lead us to follow him, to obey his commands. The premise is that these commandments are important to me because the one who gave them is important to me, and so I want to follow them. This gospel text is part of Jesus' farewell address right before he's arrested, which will lead to his crucifixion. He's greatly troubled because he knows what he's about to face. He saw the previews. Jesus heard his own future screams. He knows he's been betrayed by one of his closest friends. And he knows his strongest disciple, Peter, will lead the mass retreat when threatened by association. This is the radical nature of Jesus' love. He will endure the suffering of the cross. He will face down all the evil that ever existed or ever will. And when the Father restores Christ's life, his first thought is to comfort his grieving followers. He wants to relieve their grief, their humiliation, their fear, their confusion, their despair. He appears again and again to reassure them that they are forgiven, restored, and still loved. He tells them that he is leaving for a while to prepare a special place in heaven for them. This has to be some serious fear and confusion at that moment in the upper room, because Jesus has been telling his disciples that he will be betrayed. Will it be me? His friends will desert him before he dies. Not I, Lord. He will be crucified and die. Say it isn't so. He will come back to life, but then he will leave again as he returns to his former life in heaven. Well, then what? What do we do without our leader, with the Romans gunning for us? In his love and compassion, Jesus says, "My friends, I will not abandon you. I will not leave you orphaned." Playwright Arthur Miller once wrote that his one-time wife, Marilyn Monroe, knew what it was like to be an orphan, to be abandoned, and her experience gave her an uncanny ability. According to Miller, wherever Marilyn was, when she entered a room, she was always able to pick out from the crowd those who had been orphans. There was just a certain look in their eyes of a fellow orphan could always detect at a glance. It was a glint of loneliness, perhaps of fear, of wariness. Whatever it was, fellow orphans were able to look at one another and share a common bond of knowing and understanding. However, that will not be us. Jesus will not leave us orphaned. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." Another advocate. That means we already had an advocate. Jesus. An advocate is a public supporter. Jesus didn't just give his followers pep talks. He healed, blessed, fed, comforted, taught, intervened, trained, prayed for, and loved his followers. And now it's time for him to leave, to return to heaven, so he is sending another advocate. Continuing in verse 17, "This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." His Holy Spirit will be our helper in times of trouble, our counselor in times of difficult decisions, our comforter in times of sorrow, and our advocate in times when we need defense. His Spirit reminds us of Jesus and draws us closer to Him. This Spirit recalls His words to our minds and His work to our hearts. We do not have to be concerned that the Spirit might be off on a different mission right when we need Him. We do not have to worry that we might leave home without Him, or that He will leave us because we neglect to listen to Him. He will be sent by Christ Jesus and will abide within us because God loves us. I once read, "The reason mountain climbers are tied together is to keep the sane ones from going home." Well, in truth, we know mountain climbers are tied together to keep from getting lost or going over a cliff. But another piece of truth is that when things get tough up on that mountain, when fear sets in, many a climber is tempted to say, "This is crazy. I'm going home." When the life of faith gets tough, doubts may show up. Despair may threaten to overwhelm us. The thought of being an evangelist may seem crazy. Jesus knew His disciples would have days like that, so He anchored us to Him by sending His own Spirit to live within us. And we are roped to other believers, to each other, because we all abide in the same Spirit, and He is in all of us. Jesus does not leave us orphaned. He comes with us on the journey to encourage us when we lack the strength, when we cannot find the courage, when being a believer in this world may seem absurd. This kind of support comes from He who loves us with the deepest and purest love possible. And it doesn't get better than that. Thanks be to God. Amen.